going to hear from God's word in Scripture now. Do we have a reader? We do. Excellent.
Continued opposition to rebuilding. Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them: I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Four times they sent the same message, and each time I gave the same reply. The fifth time, Sanballat's servant came with an open letter in his hand, and this is what it said: There is a rumor among the surrounding nations, and Geshem tells me it is true, that you and the Jews are planning to rebel, and that is why you are rebuilding the wall. According to his reports, you plan to be their king. He also reports that you have appointed prophets in Jerusalem to proclaim about you: Look, there is a king in Judah. You can be very sure that this report will get back to the king, so I suggest that you come and talk it over with me. I replied, There is no truth in any part of your story. You are making up the whole thing. They were just trying to intimidate us, imagining that they could discourage us and stop the work. So I continued the work with even greater determination. Later, I went to visit Shemaiah, son of Deliah, and grandson of Mehetabel, who was confined to his home. He said, Let us meet together inside the temple of God and bolt the doors shut. Your enemies are coming to kill you tonight. But, I replied, should someone in my position run from danger? Should someone in my position enter the temple to save his life? No, I won't do it. I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me. Remember, O my God, all the evil things that Tobiah and Sanballat have done, and remember Noadiah the prophet and all the prophets like her who have tried to intimidate me. So, on October the 2nd, the wall was finished, just 52 days after we had begun. When our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about it, they were frightened and humiliated. They realized this work had been done with the help of our God. During those 52 days, many letters went back and forth between Tobiah and the nobles of Judah. For many in Judah had sworn allegiance to him because his father-in-law was Shechaniah, son of Ara, and his son Johanan was married to the daughter of Meshulam, son of Berechiah. They kept telling me about Tobiah's good deeds, and then they told him everything I said, and Tobiah kept sending threatening letters to intimidate me. Here ends the word from God. Thanks be to him.
When I first was looking at Nehemiah 6, I titled this chapter, The Man Who Was Brave. And of course, this chapter has got a lot to say about Nehemiah's bravery. We've seen that all the way through. He's a man who's prepared to be a risk taker. He's a man who, when he is threatened, he can face these threats head on, stand up to those who want to bully him. And in today's reading, there is this story doing the rounds that somebody wants to kill him. And he's encouraged to run to the temple for sanctuary, which would actually have broken the laws of the country, him doing that. So that really wouldn't have been a good idea. No matter what is thrown at this man, he seems to be able to face it. So I have changed from my original title for this morning. I was going to call it The Man Who Was Brave. This morning's title is something like this: The Man Who Got Things Finished. Because I find myself with an incredible admiration for Nehemiah, that when we saw him at the start all those weeks ago, when he hears that Jerusalem is in a mess, when he hears that it's been attacked, that it's been burnt down, that the walls have been destroyed, he has this huge emotional reaction to it, and he starts to pray and he starts to take action. And here we are, six chapters into the story, and he has actually achieved what he wanted to do, despite all the difficulties. And we could list so many difficulties we'd already looked at. He had to get time off from the king. He had to risk appearing sad in the king's presence. He had to devote himself to prayer to work out what it was he was planning to do. He had to be able to get the resources for the job. He had to be able to motivate people to get started. He had to be able to organize people, do this amazing task of administration. Don't knock administration. This amazing task of administration to get the job done. He had to face the opposition from those who did not want this work to succeed. He had to face up to the fact that the amount of work being done on this project was causing other problems in the community to get worse. And last week we were looking at the whole issue of poverty and how that relates to us as a church family. So here he is once again, and all those issues that I've mentioned have been covered within the sermons in the last few weeks. Here he is now, he is almost finished getting the walls up. Now, please understand, when I say he's almost finished getting the walls up, that doesn't mean that all the houses are rebuilt, and it doesn't mean that there still isn't a lot of things that he has to do. It's still a lot of work, but in terms of phase one, completing the wall, at the start of this chapter, they're almost there. By the end of this chapter, they are there. The wall is wonderfully complete. Nehemiah has seen the job all the way through, from his first emotional reaction to actually getting the job done. And he reports, amazingly, that the building work was done in 52 days, 7 and a bit weeks. It was an astonishingly quick job because so many people were involved, because the difficulties were always addressed as they arose and they managed to keep going. But in this chapter, the opposition to Nehemiah gets personal. In the past, those who have been trying to stop the work have aimed at the project as a whole. They have wanted to use physical force to attack the people building the wall, and that hasn't worked. So now they decide that the way to stop the wall from being completed is to go for Nehemiah personally. So they try to distract him from the work. They threaten him personally. They spread rumors about him. And here we are today as a church, and we want to do stuff for Jesus. We want to be the community that he calls us to be. We have great statements that we have made about what we want to be. We say we want to be worshippers together. We want to be a people of prayer. We want to be a family together. We want to be good neighbors to the people who are around us. We want to be worldwide Christians with links around the world. We want to be disciples who are learning to follow Jesus no matter what the cost is. And we're learning to become a team who are all growing together. We have great ideas about what we want to do. We look at things we want to do this year, and we look at the community hall across the road, and we say this year we want to make a significant impact on the state of the community hall. And praise God, it's happening. Praise God, great things are happening across the road. But if we have goals and dreams for God, and you will have your own ones, there will be times when you have seen a situation and you reacted emotionally to it. And you realized that this wasn't just an emotional reaction. You realized that somewhere in the middle of this, God was calling you to do something. That God had a task for you. And we have perhaps this initial burst of enthusiasm. I know what God wants me to do. And then we find the opposition. Then we find what makes it difficult. And sometimes we find that the opposition is targeted at us. Sometimes you will find that the opposition is targeted at you. So let's see today if we can learn something from Nehemiah about what to do during those times. The first tactic that gets used against Nehemiah is they send a message to him inviting him to come for a meeting. So these are people who have up to now been opposing the wall being built. And they propose what looks a bit like a peace conference. Let's get together, let's talk. And they select a meeting place, which, guess what, is quite a long way from Jerusalem. Let's get Nehemiah off the scene. Let's lure him to the place where things are dangerous. On one level, this is a straightforward distraction technique. That's why we did the thing earlier on with the Duplo of asking somebody to try and complete a task while other people were doing everything they could, quite successfully really, to distract him from doing the job that he'd been asked to do. And when it comes to us wanting to do things for God, one of the devil's very simple tactics against us is distraction. You know, we think of countries where the church is under great persecution, and of course it's right that we do that. This is vitally important. But for some of us, perhaps most of us, most of the time, the way that we get put off from doing God's work, the tasks that we believe God has called us to do, is simply that we get distracted from it. Jesus had a lot to say about this. When Jesus gave us the parable of the sower, he spoke about people who hear the word of God, they respond to it, they start off by growing well, but then the work of God in them gets choked off because of what Jesus calls the worries, cares, and pleasures of this world. And here's the thing. If we're going to serve God, if we want to achieve what we believe that God has called us to achieve, the biggest difficulties are not necessarily the people who want to oppose us. They're not necessarily the people who want to make life hard for us. The biggest difficulty sometimes can be the simple distractions that say, well, why don't you just do this instead? This won't make much of a difference. What about this? It gets busier at work and somehow it swallows us. Or we get into a hobby and we get really, really into this hobby and it becomes a passion in our life. Now, nothing wrong with having hobbies, nothing wrong with having interests. We want to be well-rounded people. We don't just want to be people who talk God, God, God all the time, because that's not really healthy. But there can come a point with these where actually they are stopping us from being the people that God calls us to be. Or we can get worried about something and we can start to let these worries go into our minds. And instead of concentrating on the job that's in front of us that God has given us to do, we get pushed away. There might be some of us here this morning and you're actually thinking, yeah, that's me. I used to have great dreams of what God might do through me. But now I'm just distracted from them. Now I'm not doing them as I used to do. And sometimes that can happen to us as a whole church as well. We can get put off from the things. We meet together and we say, right, here's what God is telling us to do. And then we find other things simply put us off. So perhaps today it's worth all of us just taking a few moments to say, well, what are the things that are really important for me in my life? What are the things that are really important for us as a church? And if we find that we've been distracted, don't go into a big guilt thing about it. But come to the Lord today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I want to be devoted to the thing that you have called me to do. And my favorite verse in the whole of the book of Nehemiah is Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. And he says, four times he got this message which was trying to lure him into the distraction, take him away from completing the walls of Jerusalem, which was the project. So he says, four times they sent to him this message, and four times he replied with the same one. And let me read it from this translation. He says, I am carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. Let me just repeat that, because I think this is so wonderful. I am carrying on a great project, and I can't go down. And I believe that doing the work of church is a great project. I believe it is a project that we must not get distracted from. I believe that Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of Hades could not prevail against it. I believe what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, that the reason that we have the church is because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water, baptismal service next week, through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't wanting to be a radiant church before God a great project? Isn't that something that's worthy of our time and worthy of our energy? You know, I'm involved in other things apart from church. I love doing them. I want to have a balanced life. I certainly don't expect that all of us should be 24/7 thinking church, church, church. But let's see if we can grasp this, that Jesus died to create a radiant church. That Jesus promises that the gates of Hades cannot prevail against the church. And let's allow ourselves to say to ourselves and to the Lord's today, this is a great project. This is something fantastic. This is something that we will not get deflected from. And whatever it is, the distractions are going to be. Whatever the problems are, and as we've seen throughout these chapters of Nehemiah faces difficulty after difficulty, problem after problem, no matter what they are, we will not stop believing that the task of being involved with God in his church is a great project which is central to God's plan for the whole earth. Remember, we saw that right back in Nehemiah chapter 1. It wasn't just that Nehemiah wanted the walls of his home city rebuilt. He wanted the walls of the city rebuilt because he believed that Jerusalem was central to the plans of God. He believed that it was right that God had called Abraham and God had called David and God had given them promises and God had promised to work his plan through these people. And although there's no reason for God to favor this church over any other, so we are part of that plan. And it is a great plan. And Nehemiah's enemies realize that Nehemiah has this motivation. So in Nehemiah chapter 6, to quote an old Jaws film, this time it's personal. This time it's about them taking him out. So they try to distract him. When that doesn't work, they change tack slightly. And this time, they spread a rumor about Nehemiah. And here's the thing, that if we are serious about following the Lord together, if we're serious about being part of his church family, then people will spread rumors about us. People will tell stories about us. We should not be shocked or surprised when this happens. Because I find when it does happen, I do tend to get taken by surprise. And I think, how on earth can this happen? And then we need to go back to Scripture and to say, no, this is what's always happened to God's people. If somebody gets a passion for the work of God, if somebody's in that position where they say, I can't be distracted, somebody will tell a story about that person and try and discredit them. So they put out this story and they say it's a rumor that's circulating everywhere, which is interesting because most times people come with a rumor or something. They tell you that lots of people believe it, which often isn't true. Sometimes it is. So they say there's this rumor, Nehemiah, what you're really doing here is you are wanting to get set up as king. And Nehemiah's response is really, really blunt. He just says to them, nothing like what you are saying is happening. You're just making it up. Nehemiah has no ambition to be king. Nehemiah has come under the authority of the Persian king. Now, Nehemiah knows about the kingdom of God. I'm sure he fully believes that one day God will restore his proper king. Just as we pray every week for the kingdom to come. We long for the day when God's kingship will be restored. Come to think about it, isn't that a very similar rumor to the one they said about Jesus? This man opposes paying taxes to Caesar and makes himself out to be the Messiah, a king. And Pontius Pilate looks at Jesus and realizes this is complete nonsense. But Jesus has said enough about a kingdom that these people can make it stick. Or the complaint about the early church as the gospel spread into Europe. These people oppose Caesar and say there is another king. And for us today, we pray for our government. We've already done that in the service today. We respect our government. We honor our government. We honor our local government. We honor our councillors. We want to love them and we want to support them. We have no agenda to change the political structure of our country. Although I hope that many of us do have political agenda because there are things that need to be changed. But if nobody has ever said about you that you're a bit of a revolutionary, if nobody has ever said about you that you're a bit of a subversive, are you really following Jesus? When people look at us, they must realize that we're marching to a different drumbeat to the rest of the world. We have been called to be different. No wonder people put out rumors about Nehemiah. It was perfectly possible to look at what Nehemiah was doing and to say, this man wants to be king. He was building up the walls. In many ways, he was acting like a king because he was taking huge authority. He was organizing everybody. He was organizing the welfare within the city. Don't be surprised if you get a passion for Jesus and people start telling rumors about you. It's a common tactic of the devil. The difficulty is that to be able to rebuff the rumors, we need to be able to say what Nehemiah is saying. Nothing of what you're saying is true. And it's so important as a church that we live cleanly, that we live well, that we are seriously working at being loving, at being respectful, at sticking to the laws of the country. You know, it's a pain in the neck, all this privacy stuff that we've had to do in the last few weeks. But we see the point of it. We do it. We do it out of respect for those who have authority over us. We do it because we don't want people going around thinking that we are some sort of revolutionaries. But at the same time, we come with the revolution of love. We come seeking to be a community that is like no other. And if we're not scaring people, then we're not doing it well enough. If people aren't saying, let's find a way to discredit Mills Hill Baptist Church, then we've got a long way to go. Nehemiah was worth taking out. His enemies had realized that it was worth getting personal with him. And Nehemiah has to handle this very difficult man called Tobiah. And Tobiah was playing tricks. Tobiah was doing lots of good deeds, not because he was a good person, not because he cared about Jerusalem, but because he was trying to get people on his side. People like that are some of the most dangerous people that we can ever meet, because they make out that they're good when actually they're not. They make out that they are loving. They're usually smart enough to be able to get away with us. So there were many people in Jerusalem who were saying, oh, Tobiah, he's a great guy. I wonder what he'd done. Maybe he'd actually helped some people in the city financially. Maybe he'd been there for them where things are difficult. But actually, Tobiah was seeking to destroy everything that Nehemiah stood for. And the New Testament tells us very strongly that love must be genuine. That if we are here for Jesus, we must learn to love as he loves. So, the wall is completed. There will be more to look at in a while. But my final thought for the time being about Nehemiah is that Nehemiah, when he succeeds, when something goes right, he is very keen to give the glory to God. He's very keen to say, this was God, this wasn't me. And we read the story and we think, I think rightly, it was a lot about Nehemiah. He was a very gifted person. He was the right person in the right time. He was able to handle every distraction, every bit of opposition that came his way, no matter what it was. When things got difficult within the community, he was able to handle it. Sure, it was about Nehemiah. But Nehemiah knew that everything he'd achieved, God had given to him as an answer to his prayer. And the New Testament tells us that we are to work hard with the power that God gives us. It's never just about God's power. It's never just about us working hard. And Nehemiah is keen to acknowledge that this hard work that he has put in has only succeeded because of God. So we see him again coming to God in prayer and coming to God trusting that God can deal with the enemies who still remain. He doesn't take any action against them. And at the end, he's able to say of building the wall, it is finished. Which is, of course, the words of Jesus from the cross. It's finished. It's accomplished. He prays to his Father and he says, Father, I've completed the work that you've given me to do. And wouldn't it be fantastic when everything is weighed up that we look to Jesus and we say, Lord, we have completed the task that you gave to us as a church. So let's not be deflected. Let's stay in his grip. Let's stay with what he's given to us to do. Let's pray together. Lord, you've given us tasks to do. You've given us people to be. You've called us to love each other so that the world will know that we are the disciples of Jesus. Father, forgive us for ways in which we've been distracted. Forgive us for the times when we've wanted to give up, when things have got difficult for us and it seems personal. Lord, we want to give now the glory to you for this church. We thank you that this church has been here for so long, started in 1845, And for almost two centuries, people have come here and they have worshipped you and they have served you and they've given you glory. And when this church got burnt down, they stood firm and they rebuilt it. And they had all the stamina and strength to be able to rebuild this church in 2 years. An incredible feat. And in previous generations, people felt you were calling them to build the hall across the road, and they did it, often at great personal cost to themselves. And Father, you've placed us here today. You've placed us that we can do your work now in our time. Lord, we want to do it for your glory. So, Father, we offer to you now all the places in our lives where we could feel that today we're under attack or that we are being deflected. Father, enable us to be brave as Nehemiah was brave. Enable us as your body to stand together. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.